Let's read together Job chapter 35, verse 1 through Job 36, verse 26. Here we have Elihu's third speech in chapter 35 and the beginning of his fourth speech in chapter 36. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of chapter 35. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, "Do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned?" Let's begin our study of this portion of Job with some background notes. We saw at the end of Elihu's second speech in chapter 34 that Elihu comes down hard on Job for Job's attitude towards God. How dare Job question God's ways? "For such a proud attitude, Job should be tested and disciplined to the limit," said Elihu. Look back at chapter 34 and verse 36. "Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men." Now here in chapter 35, Elihu continues with a third speech. And in chapter 36, we have the beginning of a fourth speech by Elihu. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this portion of Job. Doctrinal point number one. In his third speech, Elihu defends God's authority in his dealings with Job. In his third speech, Elihu defends God's authority in his dealings with Job. Chapter 35. Now in verses 1 through 3, the verses that we just read, Elihu concisely summarizes Job's position, in which Job maintained that he was innocent of any wrongdoing, and yet God must be indifferent to his righteous living, otherwise Job should be rewarded in some way. Job says Elihu in verse 3, "You say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned?" Now beginning in verse 4, Elihu rebukes Job in this third speech and defends God's authority in his dealings with Job. In verses 4 through 8, Elihu reminds Job of God's transcendence. God is not adversely affected by man's sin, and he is not benefited from man's righteousness, and therefore he is not under any obligation to react or respond to the good or bad actions of people. Let's read these verses. "I will answer you, and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man." Verses 4 through 8. Elihu's point in verse 8 is that while God is not affected or changed by your sin or righteousness, Job, your fellow human beings are. So whether you're rewarded for your righteousness, Job, or not rewarded for your righteousness in this life, it does make a difference in how you live, because others are watching. A good point for all of us to keep in mind. Now in verses 9 through 16, Elihu gives a few reasons why God may not always answer prayer, even the prayers of the righteous. Let's read the first reason in verses 9 through 11. "Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven?" Do you see the argument here in verses 9 through 11? People cry out to God when they are in trouble. But why don't they praise him as their creator and as the one who can bring joy and songs in the night? Or why don't they praise him for making them so much more than the beasts and the birds? Another good lesson for all of us. And in verses 12 and 13, another reason is given as to why God does not always answer prayer. Because of selfish pride, verses 12 and 13. "There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it." As far as Elihu is concerned, the prayers of proud, selfish people are empty prayers. Now in verses 14 through 16, Elihu clearly puts Job in the camp of those who don't get their prayers answered because of pride and questioning God's ways. Let's read these verses. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now because he is not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. In his third speech, Elihu defends God's authority in his dealings with Job. Doctrinal point number two. In his fourth speech, Elihu defends God's justice in his dealings with man. In his fourth speech, Elihu defends God's justice in his dealings with man. Chapter 36, verses 1 through 26. Now, Elihu's fourth speech is covered in chapters 36 and 37. We will look at the first part of this speech in verses 1 through 26 of chapter 36. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." In these verses, Elihu tells Job he has more to say in this speech on behalf of God. The good news here is that Elihu does defend God's justice in this speech. The bad news is that we see in these first four verses that Elihu thinks quite highly of himself. When he says in verse 3 that he will fetch his knowledge from afar, he is saying that he has a wide range of knowledge in contrast to Job, who only multiplied words without knowledge, according to Elihu. And look at verse 4. "For truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you." Elihu may even be claiming here to be perfect in knowledge, unless the he or one here refers to God and should be capitalized, as it is in some translations. In verses 5 through 7, Elihu maintained that Almighty God does deal with people in just ways, but his righteous judgments are tempered with mercy. Job 36, beginning now with verse 5. "Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings. He has seated them forever, and they are exalted." So as far as Elihu is concerned, God, in his justice, does restore afflicted people and does reward righteous kings and rulers. In verses 8 through 10, Elihu emphasizes that God's design in suffering is to get a person's attention and listen to what God has to say so that they will repent of any pride or evil. Let's read these verses. "And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiantly. He also opens their ear to instruction and commands that they turn from iniquity." Bound in fetters or chains and held in cords of affliction in verse 8 is a figurative way of describing the limitations that suffering brings, as when chained to a bed of sickness, for example. Now in verses 11 and 12, Elihu gives the results of when a sufferer listens and responds to God, verse 11, and when a sufferer does not listen and does not respond to God, verse 12. In verses 13 through 15, Elihu elaborates on these two different responses. In verses 13 and 14, we have the consequences for the godless who do not listen to God. Verses 13 and 14. "But the hypocrites in heart store up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their life ends among the perverted persons." And in verse 15, we have the consequences for the righteous who do listen to God. Now in verses 16 through 21, Elihu applies all that he has said to Job himself, as a warning to Job that Job should not respond to God as the ungodly respond. Let's read these verses. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow, for a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, do not turn to iniquity, for you have chosen this rather than affliction. Now, it's important, again, to understand that Elihu is not accusing Job here of some deliberate act of sin, but rather he is rebuking Job for his wrong attitude concerning God, that God is unfair in the way he deals with godly people and ungodly people in this life. Be warned, says Elihu to Job, that your wrong attitude about God's judgment and justice does not lead to the further sin of scoffing and turning away from the Lord. In verses 22 through 26, Elihu directs Job's attention to God. In verses 22 and 23, Elihu emphasizes God's sovereign power and his perfection as a wise teacher. Verses 22 and 23, behold, God is exalted by his power. Who teaches like him? Who has assigned him his way? Or who has said, you have done wrong? And in verses 24 through 26, Elihu exhorts Job to worship and praise God, who is exalted and transcendent. Verses 24 through 26, remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looks on it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. In his fourth speech, Elihu defends God's justice in his dealings with man. Now, in these last few verses that we've just read, there is a good lesson for all of us, and that brings us to our practical application for this section of Job. Go positive with praise. Go positive with praise. We've seen in verses 22 through 26 that Elihu directs Job away from his wrong attitude towards God and exhorted Job to start praising God for his great power and majesty and his creative work and his eternal exaltation. You know, this is a sure cure for correcting a negative attitude for Job and for us. Go positive with praise. Let me ask you, do you have a negative attitude right now? Are you bitter towards God in some way? Do you feel God is unfair in any way, as Job did? Listen, start to thank and praise God in areas where you can. Do you believe that God created the universe? Then praise God for his awesome power. Do you believe that God is holy and eternal? Then praise God for his attributes. Do you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins? Then praise God for your salvation. If you go positive with praise, not only is God glorified, but your negative attitude begins to change. Go positive with praise.